Thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the global state of crisis that the world's in. We'd like to better understand what is actually going on. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, we're in a very special period in time. Probably much will be written about this in history books. Maybe history is already coming to an end. Could be. We see that the entire world is in a general state of emergency, global state of emergency. One little, small virus that you can't even see revolutionized the world, really causing us to do things that we never did before, bringing us to a standstill. Yeah? Now we see that beyond the danger of the disease itself, we see that the greater danger is the breaking down of all the big, powerful systems that we as a mankind have built. We see that it affects everyone, starting with simple people and up to giant corporations, all the systems that we've built, that we thought that they're so great and strong. We see that one little virus can really break all these things. And we'd like to ask about the implications of closing borders, extended quarantines, suddenly every country's closing its borders, you can't come in, you can't go out. The world is in a completely new state. And we'd like to ask, what exactly is happening right now in the world in light of the outbreak of the coronavirus? What is actually going on? Comes this small virus, as you put it, this little particle, and distorts all of the so-called pretty connections that we have built between us, by which we lived off each other, used each other, struggled with one another, and so on. And probably this state isn't good, because nature is always drawn to the right, correct kind of balance, where it can deal as much as it can with our evil nature of wanting to use each other. And what happens is that we're actually the ones that are creating, making the coronavirus. What happens is that our relations have reached such an egoistic level that such a virus erupts, meaning a biological particle that can distort all of our egoistic, all of the egoistic relations, relationships, ties that we have built, and as if resists them. Now, when you say that we create it or make it, it's not that we make it in a laboratory or something. No. I'm not dealing with all of these manipulations or things like that. So when you say that we make it, what do you mean? I mean that due to the bad relations between us, where everyone wants to use the others, con the others, even destroy the others, and we see how much these struggles in the modern world are endless. Every country, besides having an army, it also has a few, let's call them gangs, and this is how it is in every country, through which they act in an illegal way. And we're all the time thinking about how to harm others, not how to get along so that everyone will be well off. You'll be well off, and so will I. Let's have mutual tourism, trade, and so on. But no, instead of that, how to harm each other. So here, we're really already exaggerating in our egoistic attitude toward each other. And therefore, as a result, comes this virus. And this is actually the reason for which it appears, because we have reached a certain egoistic level that the integral mechanism of nature cannot agree to, and therefore it creates these kinds of phenomena. So this biological phenomenon that apparently was sent by nature, you're saying that behind this, there are our relations on the human level, not even on the human level yet. Right. Because were they on the human level, they would have probably been more positive. So the lack of connection between people generates biological phenomena. Yeah. On a lower level. The relations on the human level are the highest level. Beneath that are the relations between biological particles. Beneath that, their relations between the, let's call it, the physical forces of nature, and so on. And therefore, we see the results that we see. It is all according to the levels that we've learned about, even in school. Okay, so people might come and say, look, plagues isn't something new. In the past, there were plagues that destroyed entire areas in the world. What's special or unique about this plague? I don't think that it's a real plague. I don't think that we have to be afraid of losing plenty of people as a result or something. It's really a very small percentage. Every year, more people die as a result of seasonal diseases and so on. And especially that our life expectancy has grown up to 90 years and more, so this isn't the problem. The problem is that with our entire ability to arrange a good and nice life for all of us, we can't get along with each other. We simply can't. You can go to different places in the world, villages, small cities, different corners of the world. You can see that people have what to live off. They have the ability to live a good life, but there is a lack of good relations between people, and therefore they can't live off each other, provide for each other correctly, build a good and correct society, raise children in a good way. The problem is our ego. In order to show us that only our relations, only our nature needs to be dealt with and cured, therefore we discover such phenomena like the coronavirus. So you're saying that the real crisis isn't that people get sick and die and things like that, but that there's something else that generates this crisis, and maybe it's even going on, let's call it, beneath the surface. And this is what generates this crisis. Okay, so we live in a global world. We know that when there is abundance and everything works properly, then many people really enjoy living in a global world. And suddenly what we see is that living in a global world makes us really vulnerable. Maybe globalization is dangerous. It's true, but we have no choice. Actually, our development shows us how close, interconnected, and interdependent we really are. So, part of the measures that are being taken is let's isolate ourselves. This will only help us understand that it's something that we can't do, that this really leads us to a miserable life, and that we're going back to the Middle Ages. You talked about the different degrees, levels of relations in nature, the highest degree being the relations between people, and under them or beneath them, there are the biological relations between biological particles, and beneath that are the physical laws of nature, the relations between the different laws of physics. From what I understand, you're saying that the coronavirus is a result of the lack of the right, correct connection between us. Between us who? Human beings. Because between the different physical particles, the, let's call them still particles, there is the correct connection. There is the correct, right kind of connection, relationships on the vegetative level. The right and correct relationships on the animate level. And each of these levels uses the other levels in the way that it needs to, according to the absolute laws of nature that force it to do it this way. Suppose a wolf that catches a sheep and eats it, then he doesn't do it because he wants to harm the sheep, but this is what nature orders him to do in order to survive. And therefore, after he has eaten and he's satiated, he won't touch another sheep. He doesn't touch them. It doesn't look to him like a piece of meat on a barbecue inviting him to have more, but give it to a person. Then that person will kill all of them and will put it all in the supermarket in order to sell it to everyone and make money off it, and then have a good time. He'll find something to do. Meaning, our ego, our desire to receive pleasure, is unlimited. It's not only limited to food, sex, and family. It's beyond that. It wants to use others to its own benefit. So what I understand from what you're saying is that man should have not evolved beyond being a gatherer and a hunter. If he's hungry, he wants dinner, he catches an animal, throws it on the Barbie, and goes to sleep, gets up in the morning, does the same. Not only hunting, he can also grow vegetables, and people always raise chickens. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that we, as human beings, are built in such a way that our ego is unlimited. And I'm not receiving what I can receive from this world, like food, sex, and family, but I use my desires in order to conquer the world, in order to control everyone, by money, power, have others respect me, and this is what destroys our life. This is what turns us against each other. Where does the natural desire to rule, to be in control, end and starts mutating? Because in every group of animals, you have the alpha male that will rule. This is when I come out of the boundaries of the family. What do you mean? Food, sex, family. Which is, these are my desires that I have to calm down, fulfill, that this is how I am by nature. This is dictated by nature. Food, sex, family. A person's basic needs. Yeah, okay, and beyond that? Beyond that, you have wealth or money, respect and knowledge, which is a social need, egoistic need. That in order to fulfill these needs, I have to be above others, greater than others. So I turned to different kinds of business so that others can use me and I can get more out of that. By that, I become greater than everyone. There's already competition then. If we're talking about Fitzek's family, there's no competition there. I fulfill my needs like all other living creatures. The speaking level is the degree that really wants money, honor, and knowledge. So the problem that we're dealing with is that egoistic need that can't be satiated. It can't. It wants more and more all the time, whether it's natural or human resources, but to use everything that it can to its own benefit. But nature, which is a global integral mechanism that exists in and of itself, disagrees to it. It disagrees. Just like a tree doesn't agree that I'll break it now. Meaning it resists. Yeah? So, against this human behavior, it creates different, let's call them antibodies, not allowing us to break into its systems by which we can destroy it. So it actually tries to stop that egoistic need that can't be satiated. Now, we explain it differently. We say that nature is an integral law that ties all the parts together, not allowing any part to dominate the others, but to only be mutually connected with the rest of the parts. And therefore, what follows is, that once we really become egoistic, where we really start using each other, then we also start feeling resistance that either comes from other people or from parts of nature or from society. In short, from all directions. And so we have to understand that we can advance only on condition that we keep the law of integrality, that all of us are interconnected in this kind of bubble where everyone's interconnected. That all in all, the universe and earth with everything on it, the still vegetative animate and people, that all of us are in a single mechanism and that we're all interdependent. And there's just one law that applies here to supplement, complete one another. And man's ego is the only component that hates everyone, that wants to use everyone, that everyone wants only to their own benefit. And it's not enough that we just want to use nature, but that human beings are also opposed to one another. Globalization. What or who led it? Man or nature? Our ego. Our ego led us to create a global world. Why? What for? In order to live off each other more and more. Now, you also mentioned that nature, too, is an integral system, a global integral system. So what's the difference between the global system that man created and the global integral system that nature sustains? Man doesn't want to keep the global integral system of nature. People don't want to be connected with one another in a good and nice way by which man completes, supplements all the rest of the parts of nature. But to the contrary, wherever man enters nature, there he really wants to control nature in a one-sided way, only to his benefit. I don't care about destroying entire species and nature. The main thing is that for the time being, I'll be well off. And about the next generations, or even about now, I don't care. I want to ask about the interactions between people. I want to ask about that component that you say is egoistic and harmful. One kind of interaction between people is that people live off each other, and more, and this created a global world where everyone actually lives off each other. Besides that, you also talked about using each other, not by way of completing and supplementing each other, but that someone wants to live off others, to suck everything from them. And this is a negative kind of interaction because there is no mutuality there. Because in living off each other, then I can grow tomatoes, for example, and you grow something else. I can't grow everything. I can grow potatoes, chickens. You're my neighbor. You know how to make, I don't know, you have a bakery. So I'll make this, you make that, and we complete each other. This is positive and good for everyone. I suppose that this is a positive kind of development. Where does the development become negative, where you say that people try to exploit and use and get rich off each other? When I want to become a monopolist, where I want to control others. Suppose I have a bakery. You saw how well I'm doing. So you open a bakery, and so does he, and so does she. And then we start struggling with each other. And in order to make better things, you start putting chemicals into what you bake. And you use the soil in a way that you destroy it. Who knows what will happen later, but I don't care. And what motivates this process? To be successful in the eyes of others, both in terms of money, respect, control. I see that you pointed out control several times. So man's desire to be in control and to be greater than others, this is what destroys things. Even if it harms him in other ways. Like, suppose like, America and Russia, look at how much they pay for weapons, for the arms race. And people on both sides are far worse off than they could be. But they can't stop themselves. Now, another example you gave was, you said that a tree doesn't want for me to break it. I want to break it, it resists. You said that this is an example that nature, in which there is one integral law that applies to everything, not allowing any part to dominate the other parts, also doesn't agree to man's exploitative behavior. Yeah. So if I try to do something to a tree, break it or whatever, it feels it and resists. The question is, how does nature feel the exploitative behavior of one person against another or country against country? How does the system of nature feel the relationship between people, their attitude toward each other? What do you mean by nature? This I don't understand. Don't people feel how I treat them? People feel that for sure. And what, the still, the vegetative, and the animate, don't they have a protective force? A force that demands them to exist, keep themselves. It exists even in a tiny atom. Try to break it. This I understand. What I don't understand is the connection between the levels. How is it that people became more and more egoistic, exploiting each other more and more? How does that bring about, generate viruses that are on the biological level? Seemingly, these things are unrelated. These are separate levels. No. All levels are connected. The still, vegetative, animate, the speaking, all these levels, they're a part of nature, of a single system. You're as if in conflict with another person on the level that you understand. where you're harming each other. And suddenly you get a response in the form of an earthquake. This is what I'm asking about. It's not from the same level. I understand if a nation that I wanted to exploit fights back. This is clear. How's nature related to this? How are viruses related to this? Who told the viruses that I want to use Nitsa or that one country wanted to use another country and so on? Mister, everything in nature started from one particle that started connecting with another particle and another one, and this created atoms and later molecules where there's already life, the transmission of energy and information between them until a more complex form of life was created. And it was all built in such a way that even the tiniest parts of the universe are tied to the entire universe, to each and every part of the universe, in the universe, and this on the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, the speaking, and this is all on the speaking level, on the level of thoughts, meaning that the relation is the strongest connection that determines and controls and encompasses everything. You can't imagine how unlimited the speed of our thought is. It's not limited by the speed of light, it's unlimited. And therefore, as it says, everything is scrutinized in thought. It's like a child that says, I didn't do anything. It fell and broke by itself. What you don't understand is that all the parts of nature are connected in a single system. And I understand that you don't understand this, and it's hard to see. It's even impossible to see the connections between the different levels, degrees, but this is how it is. We can see it in plants, in animate bodies. There it's pretty clear. Suppose I aggravate you, and then I'll take your temperature. It'll rise a bit, right? Yeah. Why? I don't know. Once I get aggravated, immediately I feel my ulcer, but that's clear. Dr. Lightman, unfortunately our time's up, but I have one last question. What is the most important thing that we have to learn from this global state that we found ourselves in? That the relations between people is the network that ties us together, that it's the most important and uppermost network that determines everything. And if we bring it to balance, we'll achieve balance on all other levels, and our life will be heaven. Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.